You eat well, you work out, but did you know 99% of Americans are still mineral deficient? That's where Concentrace Daily Mineral Powder comes in. It's your daily foundation for better mood, natural energy, immune support, and nervous system balance. Formulated from nature and backed by science, it's a simple habit that makes a big impact. Because your body doesn't make minerals, and today's food and water don't supply enough, with Concentrace, you'll feel the difference. Go to TraceMinerals.com and start with minerals. Start with Concentrace. You eat well, you work out, but did you know 99% of Americans are still mineral deficient? That's where Concentrace Daily Mineral Powder comes in. It's your daily foundation for better mood, natural energy, immune support, and nervous system balance. Formulated from nature and backed by science, it's a simple habit that makes a big impact. Because your body doesn't make minerals, and today's food and water don't supply enough, with Concentrace, you'll feel the difference. Go to TraceMinerals.com and start with minerals. Start with Concentrace.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast with Tony Bruschi and continuing coverage of the case against Brian Koberger.
What's really disturbing, that that last piece there on the intro, if you're watching this, you know what I'm talking about. If you're listening to it on the podcast, it was an image of Koberger's bathroom shot with the thumbs up that everybody speculated, going, oh my God, is that real? I mean, it is real, but oh my God, if he killed him, how disturbing is it that that shot of him in the bathroom with the thumbs up, what the hell is that? And we speculated early on, like, is this a nod to American Psycho? Because he kind of looks like that. The thumbs up is Bundy. The fact it's a shower, Psycho. There's a lot in that shot, and we had actually thrown it into AI, and it animated it where he kind of waves his thumb a little bit, and it's pretty haunting and scary, but he did that. He killed those four people, then a few hours later took the shot. 1,000% happened. God. There's a lot of pieces in this, now that we know he's guilty, now that he's admitted his guilt, that are now coming to fruition and are coming to light from earlier chapters in this. And it just kind of blows your mind. Like, oh my God, that they did do it like this. We've all heard chilling phrases. He seems so normal. It's become the unsettling cliche in true crime. The neighbor, the friend, the student who once suspected could not ever commit horrific crimes, but then they do. And the perplexing, deeply troubling saga of Brian Koberger. Oh, that phrase took center stage yet again, recently echoed by one of the most renowned criminal psychology experts around, Dr. Catherine Ramsland. Ramsland, of course, famous for her close study of serial killers, including the notorious BTK killer. She's been on our show before talking about it. She's been unable to talk about the case against Koberger until now. Yeah. She sat down for a rare and revealing interview with News Nation's Brian Enten to unpack her experiences teaching Brian Koberger directly, back when he was just another eager, intelligent student rather than an infamous accused murderer. During their conversation, Ramsland described a bright, polite student who never raised a single red flag. There were no flashing neon signs that screamed, "Killer in training!" Just a diligent scholar with a fascination for the intricacies of crime, capable of digging into the darkest corners of human psychology without revealing any darkness of his own. But here's the uncomfortable twist. Ramsland herself now openly wonders if Koberger absorbed her teachings about antisocial personalities and criminal minds not as tools for good, but rather, it's like a sinister manual, weaponizing knowledge she hoped would be used to prevent crimes, not be used to commit them. And it's not her fault by any means, because Catherine has inspired thousands of people over the years to do the right thing, to get into criminal justice, to get into the FBI, to get into all sorts of fields and areas of study in this area to do good. by sheer numbers, you're going to have one that slips through the cracks. You're going to have one that's in there for the wrong reasons, and you are not going to be able to identify it. Even the best in the world raises an unsettling question we all have to grapple with. Can our best intentions, our best education, inadvertently provide the keys to violence for someone already predisposed to harm? And the answer is yes. But so can the world. He just happened to get really, really close to some of the best. Not a lot of people are able to do that. Let me know your thoughts in the comments as we dive into our conversation here with Siobhan Scott. Comment section is on YouTube, so if you want to join us over there, just search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, and you can comment away on our conversation or conversations, because there's a lot of videos. We have hundreds of videos with Siobhan talking about all different cases, and check them out. You'll love it on our YouTube channel, Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. And do hit subscribe there, too, if you don't mind. Really appreciate it. So joining me to unravel this troubling psychological puzzle is psychotherapist Siobhan Scott. Years of experience delving into the darkest corners of the human psyche. Siobhan's going to help us explore the line between fascination and fixation, education and exploitation. Started by asking her the question many of us were pondering, how can someone like Koberger so completely mask their violent intent, even from an expert like Catherine Ramsland herself? Catherine Ramsland finally has broken her silence on this case. She spoke to News Nation's Brian Enten just the other night about what she could on the case. There are still things she can't talk about because of, I forget the term, but it's like HIPAA almost for teachers and students, where there's certain things you can't discuss. But she was able to talk about her interaction somewhat with her feelings about him. And she came out and said there really wasn't any red flags for the most part. He seemed very much, as a student of hers, that he was very astute, very polite, very interested, very passionate, had the mental capacity to really get into the information that they were studying and contextualize it and dig deep into it. I wasn't expecting her to be like, he was eager to kill and then just learned how to fly the plane up and not fly it down. It wasn't like that. What do you take? Are you surprised by that at all? Or is that kind of what you would think that this person would have been like if you were to look back on this retrospectively as if he had been a student or when he was a student?
Yeah, his craziness, his dark side, all occurred internally in his head. I think even though people thought he was weird, nobody would have guessed he had the kind of violent fantasies that he had. And so a person like this is very good at compartmentalizing, at keeping it buttoned up, and playing a very polite, appropriate role, certainly with a teacher who's an authority figure.
Yeah, that's the interesting part of this. And I remember we had the conversation earlier on about Howard Bloom has the article out where he theorized, did he do all of this in some crazy way to try and impress Catherine? Catherine had mentioned something yesterday with Brian Enten about it, you know, being a little bit concerned looking back, you know, did he use what he was taught about the antisocial personality end of things, about how to plan a crime, how to investigate a crime? You know, is this someone who used that for all the wrong reasons? Not that it's something that should necessarily discourage her, but she did bring up, you know, we hope that most people that go through this, they come out the other side and they are going to go use this for good. They're going to go be investigators. They're going to go work in law enforcement, investigative work, whatever have you. But every once in a while, you know, there's going to be someone that comes through like this and uses it for the wrong reasons. When he set out to go down this path as being educated in criminal justice, do you think this was the goal? Was this a long-term goal of Koberger's when he went down that road?
I have said that from the beginning, that there's a certain percentage of people who study criminology, forensic science, because they want to learn how to be a better criminal and how to get away with that. You even see that sometimes in people who become law enforcement officers. It's like, you know, now I've got the power here. how can I wield this? How can I get away with it? How can I satiate my desire for beating people up and being a violent person? That's not the majority, but you do get people who go into it for the wrong reasons, and it's often not picked up if they're a good psychopath.
Yeah, clearly. What do you think is going through his mind right now? Is this genuine remorse that he, for what he did, and now he's finally coming out? Or is this the, I got caught, and as we talked earlier, it's this very mechanical thinking?
I think it's very mechanical. I don't think he's capable of remorse. Anybody capable of remorse would not have done a crime like this. My God, you know, how awful. Four sleeping college students. This guy doesn't have a conscience. He simply doesn't. I think his only remorse is that he left the damn knife sheath behind. He's probably perseverated on that one every day since.
Is this another thing we had talked about for a long time? Is this part of him basically getting what he wanted at the end of the day? He is now infamous. He is now up there with the likes of Bundy and the likes of BTK and all of that. And obviously, in his normal life, he was a very average dude for the most part, or less than. This is the one thing that he seemed to have grasped onto and feel in his mind that he was great at. Obviously not so much, but he's now in that chair, and he's now going to be studied. He's going to be interviewed. You know, who knows what he might do? He might write a book or something. He can't profit off of this. There's laws against that, but it doesn't mean he couldn't become someone who speaks and is studied. Even Catherine Ramsland just said with Brian Enten, she'd be interested in studying him and sitting down and talking with him and trying to get a grasp on how his thought processes worked. Do you think that's part of this? Do you think this is just, okay, he's making the best of whatever situation comes his way, and now he gets to be infamous?
100%. I think that was very, in large part, I mean, there were multiple reasons that he had these fantasies, but I think the fantasy of being a grandiose murderer in the leagues of Bundy and BTK, I think all along that was his goal. And there's a part of him that's enjoying it still, even, you know, four life sentences. He's never going to be out again. In his mind, it was worth it to be a person who will never be forgotten.
Is it, what can we glean? What can be learned from someone like Koberger, from someone who psychologically is going to study him, like a Catherine Ramsland? What are we looking for when we're looking at this retrospectively? Someone who has said, yep, I did it. Obviously, we can hear about his planning. We can hear about the logistics of what was done. But are we going to ever, this is one guy. Are there clues? Are there cues? Are there things we can learn from his behavior that can help prevent this in other potential Kobergers out there that pop up every now and then? What can be gleaned by studying him further?
It's a really hard one. I mean, can we dissect brains? You know, I don't think we're very good at the neuroscience of this yet. There are indications that people that commit crimes like this that are extremely psychopathic, their brains are different. They came out of the chute different. And can we hope to understand that better someday in some way? Definitely. I don't know if the science is there yet. But it's hard to look at the behavior and say, oh, well, here were red flags, because there are lots of weird guys out there. There are lots of guys that are stilted, awkward, don't know how to relate to women, can come off as offensive at times. But there really wasn't anything that would have stood out in this case that said this guy is going to become a mass murderer. I don't think we can spot those things.
Short of doing brain scans, which, you know, I don't see that being anytime soon, but who knows? And even if you were to look at that, I mean, there has been research done and such that does look at some serial killers, and their brains do look a little bit different to a certain extent, but you can also find people who are not serial killers who have brains that are very similar as well.
Every brain has differences. And and we do, from the studies with functional magnetic imagery, we do see that the brains of psychopaths have a very different structural connections between the amygdala and the prefrontal cortex. That's the empathy center. But a lot of people who do not become violent have brains like that. Mm-hmm. And we know that many psychopathic people go into politics and achieve great success or become salesmen and are very successful. So it's not like we can, you know, brain scan everybody in the country and go, oh, let's designate the psychopaths here. So we've still got a lot to learn, a lot to work out. And certainly there are red flags. If you've got a young boy fascinated with violent pornography, that's of concern. You want to get that kid into treatment. If you've got a kid that's harming animals, especially, you know, dogs and cats, not just hunting or things like that, but animals that most of us bond with, if they're cruel to animals, that's a red flag. But I don't know that we saw those things with him, you know, and there can be all kinds of hidden things about him that nobody ever saw. So if he were to be studied further by someone like Catherine Ramsland or others, I hope that we can glean some information on, are there other ways we can intervene with people earlier in life?
As we close out this unnerving conversation with psychotherapist Siobhan Scott, I keep coming back to one haunting question. How does someone so outwardly ordinary conceal such profound darkness, even from experts whose life work is understanding exactly that kind of darkness? They do. Because they do. Because they can. And because we're human. Because Catherine is human. It seems sometimes these folks are not. Catherine Ramsland's unsettling realization that a student she mentioned might have twisted her lessons on criminal psychology into a how-to guide for violence highlights a sobering reality about the limitations of human perception. We often confront ourselves by thinking evil wears a recognizable face. What happens when the face of danger blends in with everyday life hiding in plain sight? As Siobhan so eloquently reminded us, true psychopathy often doesn't announce itself with glaring warning signs. Instead, it moves quietly, learning, observing, calculating its next move in silence. It forces us to rethink how we recognize danger, to accept the uncomfortable truth that there may never be an exact roadmap for spotting a killer in training. Yet, as we've discussed today, perhaps the real value of studying someone like Koberger isn't just about understanding him. It's about learning how to prevent the next Koberger from slipping through the cracks. Can educators, psychologists, and law enforcement better screen or guide those who become too fixated on the darkness? Or must we accept that certain minds will always find ways to weaponize knowledge no matter how closely we watch? One thing is clear. Brian Koberger's story forces us to reckon with complexities we'd rather avoid, challenging our comfortable assumptions about who poses a threat and why. Ah, they're fine. They're just a little off. And as Catherine Ramsland herself continues wrestling with what she could have missed, we're reminded, when it comes to human psychology, even the experts can be fooled. Until next time, keep your eyes open and don't underestimate what might be lurking right in front of you. Again, comment section on YouTube. Search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Tell us what your thoughts are on this conversation. We do greatly appreciate it. And please do hit subscribe as well. Helps us grow the channel, and we always appreciate your input. Even an option there now for you, too. If you want to comment before everybody else, you can become a member of our YouTube channel and subscribe and get access to everything before everybody else and binge away. It's nice. It's there for you, ad-free as well. So check that out when you become a paying subscriber. But you can subscribe for free. You can get it all in your feed, and you can comment for free, too. But if you want that extra perk, the advanced and the way to speak early, that's there for you. We do greatly appreciate it if you can become a member. Until next time, for all of us here, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Craving nonstop true crime updates? Press subscribe now and get the latest cases, analysis, and expert commentary delivered straight to your feed. Only from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
In the news this week, the Have I Got News For You podcast is back for another series.
Brought to you by some of the team behind the show, we'll take you through the big stories of the week when the TV show can't.
From Kemi Badenoch to Keir Starmer, Donald Trump to Nigel Farage, we'll make sure to give every story and subject the complete lack of respect it deserves.
We also cover all the sillier stories you've missed that don't make the front page and put your news knowledge to the test with our missing words round.
Listen and subscribe to In the News This Week, the Have I Got News For You podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.